Basketball Gamers, and welcome to episode number 136 of the MLC Podcast. I'm Andrew, with you as always. With me as always is Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey, everyone.
And we're actually in the same time zone today, Ben.
Yes.
Technically, we are on the east coast of Australia, but Queensland doesn't do daylight saving, so normally at this time of the year, we're in different times, even though we're actually on the same coast.
Yep.
But you're down in Victoria now, so you're experiencing the pain or the joy, whichever you prefer, of daylight saving.
Yeah, pain.
Pain?
Yeah.
You don't like the extra sun?
Yeah, it's more the getting up the hour earlier.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
I don't see the point of it, so it's like, meh.
Just want to make sure you weren't one of those people that believes that daylight saving is causing global warming.
No,
not like that letter to the editor that it's circulated.
And it's not because of farmers, apparently. I found out John Oliver last week. It's apparently started in Germany in regards to the war. I have to double check the segment, but yeah, it was. Yeah, a lot of talk, you know, it was because the farmers wanted that extra time to do their job or something like that. But yeah, it turns out it was actually something the Germans started.
Well, it's I was going to suggest that it was suggested by someone who likes to run in the evenings, as as I sometimes do. But apparently, myself and my fellow runners are not to blame. So that's good to know for anyone who hates daylight saving. But yes, we are on the same time zone, wavelength, whatever you want to call it. We're here to talk about our favorite subjects, basketball and basketball video games, and a little bit of news on the basketball game video game front. The NBA season rolls on, so let's get right to it.
Right.
It always is. So we've been talking about the NBA Live 16 content update and official patch, and saying that it absolutely needs to drop soon, and happily, it actually was released this week, Ben.
Yeah.
It came through, from when this is coming out, probably a couple of days ago. And it was a fairly substantial update, around about just under the 4 gig mark it clocks in at.
Oh, considering last year ones were about 900 megs, I think, from memory.
Yeah, there's actually a lot of new art assets in patch version 1.04 that came through. We did get a full list of patch notes, probably within a day of the patch dropping. Originally, I was just working off the update history on the PS4 in the dashboard. Just so I'll read that out first. That's the quick overview of the latest patch. It added the new court in Chicago.
Yep.
And that was added to both as far as live run, that was added in both the trial and the full game. So that both the demo and the full game got it. It's also in the summer circuit, but that's the full game only. Over 170 new tops, bottoms, accessories, and shoes. 48 new hairstyles, new tattoos by Randy Harris. More than 25 new player scans, and more than 25 actually apparently equates to 26, according to the notes. So technically more than 25. Let's not be snarkily pedantic. And over 250 bug fixes and improvements. Although they didn't list them all, they did go on to list several with the gameplay fixes, improving rebound input response time, added more rebound animations to help with timing and coverage, improved failed rebound animations, easier to perform spin layups, reduced sliding and warping, tuned shot percentages, greater fatigue effect for shooting, various fixes where players warped across the court or hands wouldn't connect with the rim properly, ball warping, passing issues, alley-oop pass logic in the summer circuit. I won't read everything off the list, but there's a sizable amount of gameplay fixes there, and also some bugs with the block shot not counting for the contest objectives in Pro-Am and Rising Star. Fixed an issue with the Brooklyn Nets jersey. I'm reading some of these at random. Improved content update stability, tuned penalty for passing up shots, fixed dynasty salary cap restrictions issue. So definitely a lot of issues have been fixed. They added the brand new court that makes 8 venues all up in Pro-Am, the live run and summer circuit, and addressed a fair amount of issues. And I know you're obviously away from home, Ben, so you haven't had a chance to play it yet.
Yeah, and I still haven't got the full game yet. So
well, it apparently has been hit for the trial version, so you can actually check it out. But I played a game this evening. I've been a bit busy this week wanting to get my hands on it since the patch dropped, and I can actually feel an improvement. I want to give more impressions and spend more time with it because I'm sure I'll notice new issues and as well as issues that have been fixed. But I could definitely tell a difference with the responsiveness of the rebounding and sort of seeing some new animations. The new animations, they're okay. You know, the animation quality and the realism of the animations is something that needs to be fixed and improved upon overall. We've talked about that before, and that's a lot of that's going to have to wait till next year, I'm sure. But yeah, I could actually notice some improvements, which was nice to see.
That's good.
Collisions in the paint feel a bit more, well, they have a bit more of an impact when you contest a shot in the paint and when you get physical in the inside. I noticed contesting a lot of the CPU shots, they were actually missing more layups when I was getting away with the contact inside, and there was collision. And at the same end, sorry, at the other end, the same thing was happening for me. Found I couldn't just breeze to the hoop and dunk as easy. So a little bit less arcadey
That's good.
there. So again, I want to spend some more time with it to give more deeper impressions. But it seems to be some decent fixes. And of course, the content update was nice to see.
That's good. Well, yeah, I mean that was something we were worried about, like what up last week, especially with the low sales. How much would they support it? They put their resources somewhere else, like into next year's title more or less. So
Which I'm sure they're doing as well.
But yeah, it's good to see that it was like a really big patch. So a lot of work has been done on it, and obviously with the new assets and stuff in it. So yeah, I mean, I'll be looking forward to seeing and hearing what your thoughts are next week's podcast and that sort of once you've had a bit more time with it and sort of
Yeah.
give your
I'll definitely
impressions.
spend some more time and see how it plays if I notice some more changes. But it felt like a pretty fun game, and I noticed my defenders making a few lapses, but that should happen from time to time, and the CPU actually taking advantage of those lapses. And it there seemed to be less cheapness and cheesiness, and I actually reset the sliders. I've been playing around with the sliders a bit. I reset them to default,
Okay.
new patch, to see what it was like. Usually the best way to go to see to see what the kind of the changes are, although it would be really nice if we could save slider sets next year along with rosters. Wish list topics always something we can discuss here on the podcast.
Well, probably a good
But
way to remember it is take a screenshot of this.
well, that's the thing you can do now as
Yeah,
well,
so yeah,
take a
it's
screenshot, but
make it
it
easier.
would be easier to simply be able to
Oh yeah.
load.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
So in the long run, that would be my preferred option. But yeah, you can certainly take a screenshot, no doubt about that. But it was nice to see such a substantial update, and I hope there's at least one more patch that perhaps addresses a few more issues. Maybe after Christmas we'll get that. If they've got some new assets that they can drop into the game as far as animations are concerned, then that would also be good. And obviously, that's you look at the size of the update, just under 4 gig. They obviously have the option to, the ability, rather, to push through those new animations. And Sean has mentioned that before when we've talked to him on the podcast. So it's good to see, and I'm hoping that my continued time with the game will continue to be positive, because the game I played this evening felt pretty good.
That's good.
Still a long way to go as far as what the game needs to be, where it needs to be, as far as the animations and some of the other aspects. I'd still like to have a speed slider to change the tempo a little bit. It still feels a little bit up tempo, but it's still a fun game for how it plays, and you can see the mechanics of work. And that's again why I feel optimistic about Live. If they can do this other stuff, the animations, the deeper modes and everything, a lot of the tech under the hood, as we've said, is it seems to be pretty good. What works really works. What doesn't needs to get better. But I'll be looking forward to giving more impressions on that and seeing what you think when you get a chance to either play the full version, hopefully soon, when you can arrange that copy to that seems to be lost, unfortunately, or at the very least check out the demo with the updates to see some of that stuff and jump into the new court there in Chicago. But yeah, so that was nice to see, and nice to see the new player scans, some of the rookies finally getting proper faces. Unfortunately, the latest roster update that came through at the same time, still a fair few missing players. I want to give a shout out to Chris Jacobs, CDJ, from the Gaming Tailgate. He's also active in our forum, posted a comprehensive list of feedback for the latest roster, including incorrect jersey numbers, missing players, etc. I've been doing some work with that. He posted an even more detailed list, which I was really happy to see, and appreciate that, Chris, and hope you can keep collaborating with us on that, because we are sending that feedback through to EA, of course. And but there is another situation, another example where they still need to get better with the support for this game, the roster updates. But that's probably it for the NBA Live 16 front. As I said, more impressions in the future, as well as yours when you get the chance. You are away from home for a little bit, so it might be a while before you can talk about gaming for a bit, but we'll keep everyone abreast of the latest latest developments in the gaming community.
All I can talk about really is the 2K16 app, really.
Well, that's always exciting, the card game, How many times can you see a card dribble and get excited? But there is actually some exciting news on the NBA 2K16 PC front. We've mentioned the great work that Greg K. Waste has done with the NBA 2K16 Explorer, which allows you to export files and import new textures. And of course, with the external file plugin that's now available, you don't even need to import files anymore. You can use a custom art folder similar to what we used to do with the NBA Live PC releases. But Greg is also working on 3D editing for NBA 2K16 PC. He's posted some progress reports in the forum with some previews. I sent you through the link a little while ago, Ben, and as you can see, he's managed to make Carmelo Anthony into, well, Pinocchio, I guess.
Yeah. It looked pretty cool, must say. And it was really cool little patchwork and stuff that I saw. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing the other things you could do. I see some of the court editing stuff, I think there was as well, from memory.
Yep. No, it's basically he's working on the ability to import all models into Blender so that they can, anything and everything can be adjusted with the 3D editing. And you can see the great work that he's doing. Check it out in the NBA 2K16 releases and previews section. You can see that amusing screenshot where he shows just what you can do with Carmelo Anthony, and stretching the nose out and all other
floating
manner
the headband
of
up on the head, almost like a halo.
Yeah. So
it's halo.
Obviously, it's probably not something that most people want to do to most players, but it's an example of what will be editable. So that you can make more sensible or realistic edits, I suppose, when the time comes. But that's really cool to see. Apparently, a lot of the files are a lot easier to work with this year with NBA 2K16, and I can only hope that continues into 2K17 with native support for a custom art folder and that kind of editing abilities that we had with NBA Live for so many years, because as it stands, it seems to have gotten easier. It's possible that some engineers, maybe with some prompting from the community and a certain former member of the community who's always looking out for us, perhaps might have put in a good word, I can only hope and assume. Hi, Leftos. Hopefully that can continue if that's indeed what happened, but it does seem that the files are easier to work with this year, so fingers crossed that continues.
He just sits there and torments the database editor with seriously until they start editing, until they start implementing it.
Oh, well, that's when he's not bothering Mike.
Yeah.
About Andre Drummond's ratings. Although he does have a point this year.
Yep.
The way Mr. Drummond is playing. But that's kind of it for the basketball video game news this week. Big news, obviously, with the Live 16 patch, and big news, of course, as far as the modding goes for 2K16. But apart from that, I think people are just playing the game and seeing how the latest patch for both games works. Of course, 2K16 got their patch last week, patch number 3. So it is good to see that post-release support for both titles. And hopefully we get a few more fixes to address lingering issues. Before we move on, just wanted to cover a couple of features on the site this week. In the Monday tip-off, I talked about moderating, just to give everyone an insight into how we moderate the forum and our basic philosophy. So you can check that out if you'd like a bit more insight into that. For Way Back Wednesday this week, Ben, Well, first of all, I continued our 20th anniversary of NBA Live content, tipped that off again, and continue it with an excerpt from episode number 129 of the NLSC podcast when I talked to Sean O'Brien. I had a clip there with his memories of the series and talking about working on NBA Live 97 back in the day, and that was fun to talk to him about, and you can check out that clip. It's on our YouTube channel and posted on the main page, of course, and under the 20th anniversary of NBA Live features section. And just yesterday for Way Back Wednesday, I posted a retrospective of my old site, Ben, the NBA Live domain.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw it before I said, and I did share it. I was out on the road traveling into the CBD of Melbourne, and that, so I didn't get a chance to read it. And I only just got back a few hours ago from this. So I'll have a chance probably tomorrow or day after to have a look at it.
Well, you knew that of course, about that I'd put up that NBA Live domain.
Yep.
Recreation of the site. You designed a nice new banner for it, which you can see, and it's the design of the NBA Live domain that's there at the moment is based on the original design, or the final design of the original site, I should say. If it was the original design, it would be a lot uglier because that was made in 1998 with the Geocities page builder. I think I might have even done the old blue background and red text mistake back in the day. It's 14. What do you want from me? But I did relaunch the site just as a museum site, basically. Or we might find something fun to do with it, this being the 20th anniversary of live celebrations. But you can check that out, and with some memories of what I used to do with the NLD before I took over the NLSC. See, now I can't even say the getting confused with all the initials here. Before I took over the NBA Live Series Center, I ran the NBA Live domain. You can check out my detailed recollections of running the site and kind of what it was like in the community back in the day. And I had to share it, Ben, the wonderful animated GIF I made back in the day. Gotta love that NBA Live action. Little promo I made for the NBA Live domain, complete with Comic Sans. It's crap, basically, but it's, you got to laugh at what a 15-year-old kid does with the primitive video, sorry, image editing rather, software at the time. I think I made some of that in Paint and then put it into an animated GIF creator. So you can tell is what I'm saying. But it was fun to look back, and we'll have lots more content like that every week with Wayback Wednesday, and of course the 20th anniversary of live stuff tipping off again. So check it out, and of course the Friday Five. I have a two-part series actually coming up, Ben. It's I won't spoil it, but there's a this week's column will be followed on by next week's column, so you can check that out. And I hope people will enjoy it and join in the conversation with some thoughts of their own on the topic that I've broached. But that's pretty much it for site keeping matters and the basketball video game news. So thought we'd move on now to the NBA discussion for the week. And the Golden State Warriors have made history, Ben.
Yeah, they're just firing on all cylinders.
They are 16-0, which is not only the best start by a defending champion, but the best start, period, to a regular season. 16 wins to open the season, topping the 15-0 start by the Houston Rockets in 1993-94, when they won their first championship. Stephen Curry continues to dominate. Is that a play like a video game? We've said that before.
Yep.
32 points, 5.9 assists, 5.8 rebounds, still shooting over 50% from the field, 43 from three. So he's actually dropped a little bit. Still amazing numbers, 60% from 2-point range, 90, just under 94% from the free throw line. His player efficiency rating is, if I scroll to it properly, 33.7. True shooting percent, 67.6%. The man's on fire,
Yeah, that's
to
for sure.
quote Tim Kitzrow.
That's for sure. I mean, yeah, it's hard to know when they're gonna lose. I mean, there's that Clippers game was like they're obviously gonna look to be the time when they were gonna lose, but they just came through and just overhauled it all, just dominated that's really that second half of the game, and
Yeah,
so.
certainly in that fourth quarter, they just took over. The Bulls put up a pretty good fight. The final score doesn't really reflect it, but the Bulls put up a pretty good fight into the last couple of minutes, where the Warriors pulled away and the Bulls made some mistakes and then put them on the line a couple of times to extend the score. But you know, at the end of the day, the Bulls did not win. The Warriors won that game and have won the subsequent games to now be at 16-0 as we're recording this. And like you alluded to, you have to ask, when do you think it will end? And I guess the corollary to that I'll put out there is, what happens first? Do the Warriors lose first, or the Sixers
Win
win
first.
first?
Ooh, that's Well, let's see. Well, the 76ers actually haven't won in 8 months.
Yeah, they're actually on the verge of tying the all-time worst, if they haven't already, tying the record they share with the Cavaliers, 26 straight losses.
Which is not good. Ooh, that's a tough one. Actually, what I'll do is I'll take a look at who the Warriors play over, say, the next week or so.
Well, while you're doing that, I'll just mention that the Sixers, as of today, when we're recording this, did tie the record that they share with the Cavaliers with 26 consecutive losses, although that's over the span of 2 seasons, the previous 26 straight losses, both times, both in the 2014 season, Sixers, and the 2011 season, the Cavaliers, was done within the span of a single season. And other dubious honors of Vancouver Grizzlies lost 23 in a row 20 years ago in 95-96. Cavaliers about 81, 82, and 82, 83 had, over the 2 seasons, had spanned a 24 game losing streak, 19 and 5. So quite a few teams with a 20 plus losing streak. And it looks like the 76ers, if I had to guess, I think they will get to the 27.
Yeah, I reckon so. And I'm just looking at their schedule for the moment for the Warriors and seeing where up to. What's the date today? Here we go. They
Next
play
game is at
Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Yeah, expect a win there for Golden State against Sacramento. That could be a tight one, especially if Rondo is and Cousins are playing, and if Rondo is in triple double form, then it might be a, actually that might be a really good game to watch.
Well, Seth Curry plays for the Kings, doesn't he? Still?
I think so. Or is he? Oh, I don't know if he.
Didn't get cut, did he? No, Seth Curry plays for the Kings, so we get to see Curry versus Curry. Maybe.
I'm sure Dad will be at that game, Del Curry.
I'm just looking at the schedule myself.
Then it's
Maybe
Houston.
in Toronto, depending on if the Raptors play well at home. They just knocked off the Cavaliers
Yeah.
at home. After that, I mean, they've actually got a pretty easy schedule.
Yeah.
Looking at it, they really don't have
It's not
what
until
I would consider
possibly
a tough
Cleveland
game.
again until
Cleveland on Christmas Day,
today,
and that's a
yeah.
home game. So now that's another interesting thing because they've actually had a pretty easy schedule so far. They haven't really faced a team like the Spurs or, well, Memphis. They beat Memphis by 50. Memphis was supposed to be
Yeah.
a good team. But you look at their schedule, and they do actually have a lot of relatively easy teams. The Pacers, maybe at home. The Pacers have had some good games this year.
Yeah.
Paul George, if he goes off.
Yeah, well, he went for 40
He went for 40
yesterday.
today, yeah.
Well, today was the today is the yes.
Our time, yeah.
Yep.
We're recording this. So Houston, still getting it together. There's a couple of games I could see them possibly losing.
Yeah.
But you kind of look at it and, well, the way they're playing, every game seems like an easy game.
Yeah.
Let's acknowledge that. But, I mean, it does seem like they've got a lot of teams just hovering around 500 at the moment that they're facing at the moment. So
And I'm just
I don't want
checking.
to take it away anything away from the 16-0 start.
Yeah.
It's still an impressive thing. You've got to go out there and win every game.
That's true.
And the Brooklyn Nets came very close. They pushed them to overtime, came very close to ending the streak a few games ago.
Yeah.
So it could end at any time. And do you think it'll end by someone unlikely? Like a lot of people were saying the Lakers might, but obviously that wasn't the case on 11-77.
I think it's a good chance that's most likely what's going to happen. You're going to have that one-off game. I go into mentally thinking, especially with any team, that there's probably going to be about six games that they'll lose that they really shouldn't lose, and it would just be just one of those off nights.
It's the same thing happened with the Bulls and other teams that have won so many games.
Yeah.
You know, you drop a game to the bottom dweller just because you either lose focus or players are sitting out or just happens to be an off night and they're playing the game of their lives. Absolutely.
Shoot 1 of 14 and
Well, we'll get to that in a
yeah.
little bit, but yeah, that's certainly a possibility. But
I was looking at the Phillies schedule at the moment. The next game is against Houston
yeah, no, I'm picking Houston in that one.
and then Memphis, so oh, they might have a chance against the Lakers. That's on December 1st or second
Well,
for us.
something's got to give there,
Yeah.
yeah.
And then they got New York. I'd laugh.
Well,
I'd laugh
they
if
need
Philly.
two more losses will actually give the Sixers the worst start of any team. The Brooklyn Nets, then New Jersey Nets started out 0-17
That's right.
about 5, 6 years ago to secure that record. So we could see them a couple of records, the record for the best start and the worst start in the same season.
Yep.
A season of records,
Yeah.
apparently, 2016.
Actually, I'd love it if Philly actually beat Houston. I'd like to see that. I'd really like to see that.
Well, I kind of want to see when do the Sixers play the Warriors? January 30th. Can you imagine if neither won or
Yeah.
lost until then? And then it was the Sixers who handed
Yeah.
the Warriors their first loss.
That'll be.
That would be something right there. But
Yep.
Jeff Van Gundy had an interesting comment. Jeff Van Gundy is one of my favorite commentators, if not my favorite, certainly as far as the color commentators go in the NBA. And he endeared himself to me even more when he suggested that it was a little bit too early to be putting the Warriors up there with the 96 Bulls or even indeed other great teams or Steph Curry up there with Michael Jordan, who he called the greatest of all time. So that always is that speaks to my inner fanboy such sentiments. But I mean, it's true. You can't put them up there just yet. And Curry's got a lot. You can't compare 16 games to a whole career's worth of excellence on the basketball court. But it is getting to the point where you've got to give them their due.
Oh, yeah.
16-0 start. Stephen Curry, his numbers. It won't be determined until the end of the year just where they rank in history, and even then you can always make arguments of the league being watered down, or the refereeing being different, and all kinds of stuff like that. Those debates rage on and on.
Yeah,
But
I mean,
you got to give them the due. They're playing really good.
yeah.
They're playing really well, and he's a really, really good player, a great player, in fact.
Right now, I mean, using a racing analogy, the first out the blocks,
Yeah.
and if it's a sprint race, like say like the 100 meter sprint, there's a lot of guys that will start out really good, and then there's the ones that will push harder at the end and all that stuff, because they'll keep it in reserve, or they build up their momentum a little bit later, and that way they're able to sustain it
Exactly,
towards
yeah.
the end, whereas some will just go into quick bursts and die, or not die, but energy
Yeah.
run out. Or even in horse racing, when it comes around to that first turn or that turn, depending how over I mean, there are depending how long the race is,
Absolutely,
so
yeah.
yeah, there's kind of two.
It's not how you start, but how you finish.
Exactly.
Although I do think the Warriors have a very good chance of finishing very well once again this season.
Yeah.
You know, it's again, the GM survey before the year said the Cavs were the favorites, but I think the Warriors
Yep.
are making their claim. The Cavs are doing pretty well too, 11-4. So that's hardly a terrible start. In any other season, 11-4 would be considered quite a good start. It's just that there's a team that happens to be 16-0.
Yep.
There's a team that hasn't lost since last season. So.
Well, I'm actually like, for me, I feel justified. Like I've told a few friends of mine that, I don't think James Harden was an MVP, not even top three.
Okay, yeah.
And this is just before the season started and all that stuff. And they were calling me crazy. And from the way he's going to be playing this season, I feel vindicated or
Well,
feel
he's shooting
justified in my
badly.
answer. So yeah.
He's shooting badly. The Rockets as a team are shooting pretty poorly.
Yep.
Dwight Howard's shooting fantastically, but he's only taking a few shots a game, so he's not really getting the touches and or the shot attempts to be a 20-10 guy like we've seen him be in the past. The Rockets, they fired McHale, of course, and now we'll see what they can do with Bickerstaff running it. Just taking a look at the standings, they have lost three in a row, so the coaching change has not done a whole lot for them.
No.
The Rockets, and yeah, 5-10, third last in the West, behind Sacramento and ahead of New Orleans, who have won three in a row and finally showing some life. But man, they put themselves in a hole.
Oh yeah, that's a long crawl back to the playoffs. They're definitely doing it. Going to be doing it the hard way this year if they make it into the top eight.
Well, speaking of the top eight, in the East, there is actually 11 teams that are 500 or better at the moment, including 9 of those 11 are at least one game over 500. In the West, of course, you've got the Warriors undefeated, the Spurs at 12-3. See, that's the thing: Spurs 12-3, Cavs 11-4. Normally, those would be starts that you'd be talking about,
Yeah.
but the Warriors are kind of taking all the attention, and rightfully so. The 2, 3, 4, 5, only 6 teams over 500 or better in the West, as opposed to 11 in the East, which is definitely a reversal
Of last
of
year.
recent fortunes.
Yeah.
We talked about that last week. The Eastern teams actually have a winning record against the West this year, so maybe no more Eastern Conference, at least not this early on.
Yeah. Well,
And in fact, yes, it's only 5 of the Western teams. Sorry, 4, 5, 6. Yes, only 5 of the 6 are actually at least one game over 500. The Jazz in the 6th spot, at 7-7 at the moment, right on 500. Which we consider a winning record, even though they have lost as many as they've won. But it just looks better. We we take the glasses half full, I think, in sports.
It's like in golf, it's on par.
It's on par. That's right.
Yep.
But that is good to see a bit more parity with the East and West, or indeed, it's seeing it tip to the East. Charlotte 9-6.
They're doing really well this year. And Batum's been awesome this year for him. He's had that one bad game. That was the other day from memory. I think he had like 6 points or something like that. I could be wrong. I think I was at the airport that day, so I don't know if I got to check properly. Or was that? Actually, no, that may have been a day or so beforehand. But
Because he had struggled a bit in his last year in Portland.
Well, his numbers are down a little bit. So yeah,
He's a quality player, though. Quality player.
He's sort of potentially been one that could have been in talks for like all-star reserve roles, maybe. When he was playing well enough and that, he has
Borderline.
that ability to be one.
Speaking of players who are playing well, and his team, the Cavs, 11-4. LeBron James doing his thing as usual. He's called his teammates out for a lack of effort, and They appear to have, well, they did lose to the Raptors today, but apart from that, they have been playing pretty well, 7-3 in the last 10, certainly more than respectable. He's actually become the second player in NBA history, Oscar Robertson being the first, to be in the top 25 all time in points and assists.
That's big.
And it's, we've talked about that before, and it's kind of getting to that stage where these guys that I remember coming in and being, well, my age, LeBron is basically my age, you know, we're seeing them climb the all-time leaders.
Yeah,
So
well,
that they're.
Wade himself has been doing it this week. Like,
Oh, yeah.
in not the game against the Pistons, but one before, that was against Philly, I think it was. And yeah, that was a close game. Like, Philly nearly had that one. Wade broke two scoring records, or he moved up to 48th spot in the all-time scoring list, and had scored his 19,000th point in that game. So he done three, got those three achievements in that one game.
Well, he should top the 20,000 mark by the end of the year, then, I would imagine, if he stays healthy. So that, I mean, I was going to talk about LeBron, but since you brought up Wade, he's also in the conversation as well. You know, they've both been in the league for over a decade. They've won championships together, and Wade, of course, won one before LeBron got there with Shaq back in, well, 10 years ago in 2006. So where would you rank them among the all-time greats at this point in time? Well, start with LeBron, because that's probably the easier one to.
Well, I mean, I'm a little bit conflicted, like, of who to put higher in a sense, because, I mean, in a championship winning standpoint, yeah, I mean, Wade has that one over. So I don't know whether it depends on the person's individual interpretation of greatness and, in
But
the
then
ranking.
LeBron has got five straight finals appearances and took the Cavs from the lottery to the finals. Of course, they also got Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving's there, but
And then people will
all the
say,
same.
but LeBron is 2-4 in finals, and Wade's about 50-50 or something like that, or
Wade would be 3-2.
3-2. Yep. So yeah, and then Wade did it kind of by himself in that year that Shaq was injured in 06. So yeah, I mean, but given that,
Actually, is Wade 3-2? He won in 2006, lost in 2011,
yep. And then
then
no,
won
he's
2 2013, 2013, 2012, 2013. That's 3-1, and then lost in 2014. That's, yeah, 3-2, 3-2.
Although, hang on. Well, the first year that. Oh, yeah, because that was against the Mavericks. That's right. So, yes. Okay.
2011,
Yep,
yeah.
yep, yep. So, yeah, I think it depends on which one. And, I mean, yes, LeBron's going to have obviously a lot more all-round stats. So, that puts him ahead in that sense. So, I mean, I'm sort of conflicted where. I mean, yeah, I'll probably in the end give the edge to LeBron. But I think Wade's very close because obviously the championships, and even given the height difference and sort of different
Sure.
position that they play in. So, and the fact that, Wade is like one of the only guys to average at least a block a game, like, in his career, for someone that's like 6'4". So it's a tough one for me. But I'd say in terms of top 50, top 100 of all time sort of thing, I'd say potentially around the top 30 mark, top 20, between the top 20 and 30, I'd say.
Fair enough. With LeBron, at this point, I honestly would be putting him as a top 10 player of all time. I can't put him ahead of Jordan. I'm not going to do that. I can't put him ahead of Bird or Magic either. The way they revolutionized the game and their overall skill, their numbers, their accomplishments. Can't put him ahead of those guys. Hard to put him ahead of Russell or Kareem or Wilt.
Even Pippen, like, I mean, yeah, they've outscored him, but what Pippen did on both ends.
Possibly, but Pippen is less of an alpha dog, I guess. But so what was that? It's MJ, Magic, Bird, Russell, Chamberlain, Kareem. That's the top six. I could possibly rank him somewhere 7 to 9 in the top 10. I do think LeBron is that being that dominant and that good at the game of basketball, professional level, I would put him there. Wade, I'm not sure. Somewhere probably in the top 30. Certainly the top 50 at this point. It's going to sound strange to say, because a lot of people would say he's actually the opposite, but I think in terms of the all-time great players, I think Dwayne Wade is actually slightly underrated, because you think of the great shooting guards, you think, oh, well, Michael Jordan is usually automatic pick for number one. If he's the best player, he's the best of the shooting guards as well. Kobe is up there too, but and depending on where you might put what kind of guard you would classify Jerry West as well, and or Oscar Robertson for that matter, just designated as guards basically. You know, they can designate them either way. But look at Dwayne Wade. You're looking at, I think, someone who is a top five shooting guard of all time.
Yeah,
top five at the position. Don't know, wouldn't say top five player of all time, irrespective of positions. But I almost said irregardless then. not a word. Irrespective is irregardless. But I would put Wade as an all time top five at his position as shooting guard.
Yeah, I'll agree. I think he has that. He's in that caliber. And, you know, especially being one of my favorite players. So yeah, it's hard to argue with that. And I mean, yeah, with my 20 and 30 sort of thing, I mean, I obviously want to spend a little bit more time thinking exactly where.
It's not on the spot discussion. I didn't actually think of it until so I'm springing on myself as much as I'm springing on you. It came to mind just when we looked at the note to talk about LeBron James this week. But yeah, no, it is to the point where you have to talk about them as ranking up there as the best of all time. Tim Duncan, I think, has long since overtaken the likes of Karl Malone or Charles Barkley as the best power forward of all time at this point.
Yeah, I mean, given the fact too, how many years he's played plus amount of championships and stuff, so you know that those attributes and stuff, the achievements, you know, sort of help him up the ladder in that sense.
Oh, absolutely! It's been a fantastic career for Duncan, and the way he's been able to transition into the smaller roles, still be relevant.
Yeah,
still make a contribution in that smaller role and transition into that new era and let the Spurs stay on top. And it's very impressive, and it speaks to his character and his skill and ability to still be productive in that smaller role, which kind of brings us to our next point. We mentioned Kobe as one of the greatest players of all time, greatest shooting guards of all time, and I would certainly agree with that assessment. But he hasn't handled the transition as smoothly as a Tim Duncan. And you might say, why are we still discussing Kobe Bryant when there are bigger stories like the Warriors? Well, that's why it was the top story this week, guys and girls. That's why Kobe's not leading the discussion, but it's kind of fascinating in a train wreck kind of way to see what Kobe Bryant's season has become and what has become of his farewell tour, because it's certainly getting rougher and rougher. As you mentioned, shot 1 of 14 against the Golden State Warriors in that 111-77 loss, which gave them their 16th win of the season. The Lakers on the wrong end of history there. Kobe scoring just 4 points, a 1-3-pointer, 1 of 7 from 3-point range, 1 of 14 overall, and 1 of 2 from the free throw line for 4 points in that game in just 24 minutes. And it's leading to a lot of discussion, obviously. I mean, it's a player of that magnitude and that historical significance is playing like this. It is going to draw some attention, which is why we're talking about it. And the question I wanted to raise to you, Ben, we've talked a little bit about it before. In fact, we've talked about him a couple of times since the season began because, I mean, I think we've both just been marveling almost in disbelief at just how bad the shooting percentages are.
Yeah, I mean, we know he had a rough season last year. This decline is, man, it's like literally falling off a cliff.
Well, kind of I've got some numbers here just to read out before I get to the question I wanted to put to you. Shooting a career worst 31.1%. From the floor, about 19% from a 3-point range. Free throws, about his career average at 83%. He's now averaging a team high 16.4 field goal attempts and while only scoring 15.2 points. So he's actually averaging more shots than points, which doesn't really rank well on the efficiency scale, to say the least. 12 consecutive games scoring fewer than 25 points while shooting worse than 50%, the longest such streak of his career. It's not good to say the least. His player efficiency rating is 10.3, which is below average. Not playing efficient basketball, obviously. And I saw a quick clip today from this article that I pulled these stats from, and it was on ESPN, so it had a clip of Stephen A. Smith, our favorite, our favorite personality, always entertaining, Stephen A. Smith. But he's suggested that Kobe should retire immediately, not just play out the season, but basically call it quits, a la Elgin Baylor back in the 72 season. So my question to you is, you know, I think we broached that question a few weeks ago as well, whether he would and whether he should. Now, after a performance like this, once again, the question is, Will he? And should he?
Technically, yeah, he should. I think he's playing where he's more liability for the team. But will he? I still think no. I still think pride and ego part and will be the, I suppose, the death of him in this sense. It'll be, it's
Certainly
that,
the
yeah.
tarnish the postscript of his career, if you
Yeah.
will. Like an MJ coming back for the Wizards, although MJ with the Wizards was a lot better
Yeah, he was
than
more
Kobe is right now.
productive in.
But even so, or Shaq in his final years, players who did hang around a little bit longer than they should have.
I mean, Robert Parrish is probably even looking at, damn, man, time to hang it up.
But see, I hesitate to say that he should, because I do think he deserves, he's earned the right to go out on his own terms. I think Byron Scott is playing it really fast and loose with being entitled to shoot as much as he wants. I mean, it's clearly not working out, and it's making him look pretty bad. So I don't think Byron Scott's got the best handle on the situation myself. I hesitate to say that he should retire immediately. I don't think it would be the worst idea in the world if he did. I think if he does play out this season, which he likely will, I think it should be his last. He's not ruling out that it won't be. But you look at this performance, who's really going to want to sign him after this season? So I think certainly this should be the last season. Maybe you consider, if this continues, maybe you consider hanging it up and saying, you know what, I gave it a good run, but you know what, I blew out my Achilles a couple of years ago.
Yep.
I blew out my Achilles. I'm close to 40. I've had an excellent career. You know what? That's it. I'd like to do a farewell tour, but this is just going to be embarrassing or whatever. Here's why I don't think he will, though, do that, and why it's not. Well, he's not ruling it out. He doesn't really seem to be that embarrassed, and I suppose you do need the confidence. He wouldn't be where he is without the confidence. But here's a quote from him: "I'm not really worried about it, honestly. My shooting will be better. I could have scored 80 Tuesday. It wouldn't have made a damn difference. We have bigger problems. I could be out there averaging 35 points a game. We'd be what, 3-11? We've got to figure out how to play systematically in a position that's going to keep us in ball games." On one hand, he's got a point. On the other hand, really? This is where I want Leftos to bust out of seriously in response to that. He could be out there averaging 35 points. He's struggling to score 15 to 20.
Yep.
I could have scored 80. You definitely could not have scored 80 points. In fact, another note from the article. For those interested, ESPN.com's Don Havistrow did the math. At Bryant's shooting rate this season, he'd need to shoot 97 times to reach 80 points.
Oh, jeez.
He'd need to shoot almost 100 field goal attempts to reach 80 points. So, no, he would not have scored 81. Still hanging his hat on that, I'm sorry. That was 10 years ago. Time has passed, and he's not passing as much as he could. He's definitely not could be out there. I mean, I see what he's saying, that the problems do go beyond him simply being able to do what he used to, if that's what he's putting it. But it doesn't seem to be listening to his body or reality. 31% from the field, more field goal attempts than points per game. That's to put it mildly, not good.
No, and yeah, I mean, how much do you want to destroy your legacy in a way like that? The lasting image that people, especially younger people will have is, how, well, essentially washed up you've become. And for someone who's been so competitive and that, and
And successful, yeah.
yeah, it's kind of painful. And I mean, I'm not a Kobe fan, but it is painful.
Yeah, it's. I mean, he is an all-time great, and it's kind of a shame to see that he doesn't really know that, doesn't want to admit that his day is done. And there's no shame at it after 20 years in the league. I mean, you look what a Tim Duncan's doing. You look what Kevin Garnett's doing in Minnesota, still hanging around but just playing minimal, time. He's starting but just playing, not a whole lot of minutes, and just contributing where he can and mentoring the young guys. And it doesn't sound like Byron Scott's really got a handle on the situation either. So this is pretty much, if this is a farewell tour, it's going to be a really ugly one. And to the point where I'm looking at some comments from Lakers fans, and even they're saying, "Look, he should give it up. I'm a Kobe fan, but this is just,
Yeah.
this isn't helping the team moving forward. It's you can't erase what you've done, so it can't tarnish the legacy in that respect for any player. Like Jordan's years with the Wizards that brought his averages down, and where he's obviously more, to coin a poetic phrase, mortal than he
Yeah.
looked during his prime.
But
It doesn't
never looked
erase
this
what he's
bad.
done.
He didn't look this.
He didn't look this bad, no. And but even so, someone like Shaq's last few years weren't fantastic either, his last couple of years. But all the same, that doesn't change the fact that in his prime he was a beast, one of the most dominating players in NBA history.
Yeah.
So you kind of raise the good that they've done in their careers, but it does end on a really sour note, and it looks like his career is going to end on a really sour note. And if he doesn't retire in the immediate future, you know, during the season, I really think it's got to be his last season, because I can't imagine it's going to get any better, because he came into the season healthy.
Like
he's going to be another year older.
I mean, he'll have probably a couple of good games, but it wouldn't be enough to justify it.
At this point, if he gets into the All-Star game somehow, voted in by the fans, should he step aside and let someone else start in his place, like Vince Carter did for Jordan? Although, of course, Jordan, being the retiring player, was given that respect, but he, as you noted, he was playing better.
Yeah, and Vince had been injured at that stage, from memory, so...
I kind of hope the fans don't bring in a legacy vote.
Yeah, it would be kind of like that Grant Hill one, from, in a sense.
I defend the Grant Hill one, because he did have a bounce back year.
I don't argue he had a great year, but I don't know if he was
a starter.
Yeah, definitely more.
Well, I mean, it borderline. Got him into the game.
It was borderline, but
borderline.
I think that people thought it was 96 again.
true, but I'd still say more deserving than Kobe is right now of getting in. I mean, Hill wasn't shooting 31% from the field, so. But it will remains to be seen what kind of games he can have before he hangs it up, and indeed when he will hang it up. But yeah, I got to think this is his last year.
Yeah, I think so. I still reckon we'll know a decision by All Star Weekend whether he'll hang it up sort of semi immediately, or if he'll play out the rest of the season. I think
if he's still struggling at the All Star break, you think he might put it on ice?
Yeah, I think so. And even if the Lakers just go, look, it's costing us too much, in a sense, you know, it's like we want to restart the rebuild now.
But we'll pay you to stay away.
Yeah. Could they amnesty him, actually?
I don't think so, but I would hope they don't offer him another $25 million a year extension.
Yes.
If they do, I think we might actually see some longtime Lakers fans.
Disband.
Well, they might not become Clippers fans. That might be a bit too much on the nose. But or Celtics fans, but they might look elsewhere.
They might just jump.
Warriors fans, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking Warriors. Warriors.
That's not as part of travel, and it's not the Clippers. Yep. So it's not as traitorous to jump ship.
True. Although they could look at Sacramento, because it's purple.
There you go. Yeah, it's the state capital, yep. So... But in any case, we will see what happens there and what happens in the NBA in the weeks to come, how many games the Warriors will win before, how many more they will win before finally dropping one, and how long Steph Curry's amazing shooting can go. And we'll keep talking it, of course, right here on the podcast. I just wanted to finish up today with heading back slightly to the basketball game discussion, but on a slightly different note, more of a community-based note, I guess, but with the update that was pushed through for NBA Live 16, they did add a new court with new challenges and a new boss. And there's a blog post today on the official NBA Live website from executive producer Sean O'Brien, and is talking about some of the contents and fixes. But he wanted to mention one thing about the new venue that's located about a mile away from the city of Chicago's Chinatown. Someone who worked for EA for 9 years at Tiburon, Henry Hank Warner, passed away suddenly earlier in the season, earlier this fall. He's been working at Tiburon Quality Assurance for almost 9 years across most of the titles and three console transitions. Has lots of nice things to say about him. Apparently a great guy, and again, passed away unexpectedly, which obviously affected people, and very sad to hear. And they wanted to memorialize Hank and pay tribute to him, so he's actually the boss character on level 3 in the new Summer Circuit tournament on the new court in Pro-Am. And I think that's a really nice tribute to do.
Nice gesture. So, yeah, it was definitely a nice little touch. And thanks for Sean sharing that information with us. And, you know, probably a lot of people didn't know who this added character was and that, so it was definitely great touching context and all that. And
yeah, to learn who that was and to pay tribute to a fallen co-worker, a deceased co-worker like that, and who was obviously well liked and respected, and put in the work over the years. So that was really cool to see. And you know, a lot of people have a lot of bad things to say about EA Sports, and there's a lot of justified criticism that's lobbed there. And just as with any big company or pro athlete or movie or anything, you know, there's a lot of valid criticisms that are thrown out there on the internet, but you know, you've also got to When they do something good, you've also got to call that out as well and make note of that. So, hats off to EA. That's a very classy gesture.
Yeah, sure.
So, rest in peace, Hank, Henry Hank Warner. And that's cool to see you in the game. I need to get there. That's a hard court, so I need to work my way up to actually see if I can battle you on the street courts. But that's we shall see when I get there. But yeah, that's again very cool. But that has brought us to the end of episode number 136 of the NLSC podcast. If you enjoyed it, as always, we encourage you to subscribe on iTunes. You can also listen to us on the go on Stitcher these days, or keep streaming on the site, of course, on the NLSC. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/theNLSC. Connect with us on Twitter at the NLSC, and keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nvdashlive.com, for all the mods, weekly features, and everything else we do, including, of course, more episodes of the NLSC podcast. That is it, so thank you for tuning in. I'm Andrew.
I'm RK.
And happy Thanksgiving.